Okay, we're on Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. We didn't learn last week, so 2 weeks ago we learned the Mishnah.
Nun Aleph.
Nun Aleph, 51A2. 51A2. We're going to start the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah says like this. We know there's a concept of a ksuba. Okay? The ksuba is the financial responsibilities that the husband has to the wife. Now what happens if the guy didn't write the details in the ksuba? Okay? So it says like this. Lay kosev lo ksuba. What happened? The guy didn't write a ksuba at all for his wife. The din is, psula gave him a sayim. If she's virgin, she gets anyway 200 zuz, even though there's no document of a ksuba. Valmana mana, or a widow, or if divorced, for that matter, would get 100. Why? Bipnei should tnai bezdin. It's a stipulation of the court, which means the court obligates you to pay it anyway, whether you wrote it, or you didn't write it. It's a halachic obligation you have to do anyway. What happens? Kosev la sada shava mana tachas mesayim zuz. Now, for a virgin, the ksuba is 200 zuz. What happens if he gave as collateral for the ksuba a field worth 100 only? You know, his obligation is to give 200, but he only wrote the field that's 100. And he doesn't write, kol nechosin di isle achrei l'ksuba sich, that all my properties, because in the ksuba, if you know, it says, even the shirt off my back is collateral for this ksuba. That's what it says in today's ksuba. So what happens in cases like this? A guy, he's marrying a virgin, the ksuba is 200. But he writes in the ksuba, I'm giving you a field that's worth 100. That's all he writes in the ksuba. This is what I'm giving for the ksuba. So it says, even if he didn't write, all my properties are bound for you. He didn't write. The din is, chayiv, he still has to pay it. Again, why? Shu tonight bezdin. It's a thing of the court. Okay? In other words, all of the husband's property, whether he writes it or not, is bound as collateral for the 200 zuz that a psula needs to get. That's it. So the Mishnah says two dinim. Number one, even if you didn't write anything, there's still the obligation of a ksuba. Secondly, even if he wrote only a field worth 100, she's still going to get more than that. Okay, now what he said, the Mishnah continues. Leikosav, he didn't write in the ksuba the following statement. Im tishtaboy, if you'll be captured, Afrekinach, I will redeem you. Ve'isvino loch le'into, I will return you to me as a wife. Meaning like this. One of the tanoim of the ksuba, by the way, which is not in our ksubas today, by the way. If a wife gets captured, one of the conditions of the ksuba is the husband has to redeem her. He has to take her out of captivity. Now, we learned already that once a woman is captured, we can assume she was raped. Okay, so if it's a regular Yisrael, he can remarry his wife because she was raped. It wasn't.
They have to remarry.
I'm saying they could stay married. Right. Yeah. If it's a Kohen, because she lived with a guy, so then the Kohen left. So what happens? He doesn't write. Unless, this is what he's supposed to, but he doesn't write.
Unless the captor.
Im tishtaboy, if you become captured, after kinech, I will redeem you. Ve'isvina loch le'into, I'll return you to me as my wife. Or if it's the wife of a kohen, he writes, "Adrina lebedinosech, I will return you to your city," because he can't stay married to her. Because even if she was raped, a kohen can't stay married to his wife. Chayiv, you still have to give it anyway. You're still obligated to redeem her, even if you didn't write it in the ksuba that you're going to redeem her. You chayiv because again, it's tnai bezdin. Okay.
Unless the captors were Jewish, then the kohen could stay married to her.
No, it depends. No, she's an Ashishish. It doesn't matter. Nishbis, what happens, the Mishnah continues like this. What happens if she was captured, right? Taken captive. Chayav of Deisa. He's obligated to ransom her out. What happens, he says like this. Imama Hare Gita Uksubasa Vetifta Satma. He says to the wife, you know what? I don't want to redeem you. I'm divorcing you. Here's your ksuba. Go redeem yourself. No, by the ksuba, by the chasana. Yeah.
No, but he didn't write this in the ketubah.
No, I'm saying even if he didn't write it, doesn't matter. It's still considered written. Right? Like today is not in the Ksuba, but the same thing would apply. Okay, now. So then the Mishnah's last thing is like this. If she's captured, the husband has to redeem her. What happens if the husband says to the wife, you know what? I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to pay you your Ksuba. Redeem yourself. So the din is, Eino Roshoi. He's not allowed to do it. He can't make that condition with her. He still has to redeem her anyway. And we'll soon see why in a minute. What happens, Loksa, if she became sick? Okay, the wife became sick. You need to heal her. What happens, Hare Gito Ksubase, here's your get and your Ksuba, Terapis Atma, heal yourself? Rishoy, that he's allowed to do. So the Mishnah differentiates between her being captured, that the husband has an obligation to redeem her, and he cannot say, I'm divorcing you, here's your Ksuba, and go, like this Aksach Kappen Van, do it yourself. But by healing, he could. Okay?
So this, like, is deducting from the 200, or this is, how is working?
No.
This is beside us?
This is beside the 200. But by healing, let's say, the Ksuba is 200, yeah? Let's say the healing would be 500. He doesn't want to pay $500 for her. He said, you know what? Here's your Ksuba, and go, you're not my wife anymore. Goodbye. That he could do. But by captured, that he cannot do. What?
We learned the reason why last week, right?
2 weeks ago. Last week there was no class. What's the difference? The difference is like this. Medical, Rashi says, Rufuah, right, is Rashi just learned, it's like Rufuah. I mean, it's like feeding her. Correct? It's like feeding her. So, when I divorce her, I don't have to feed her anymore. Right? If somebody divorces his wife, he's not obligated. He gives her ksuba, and that's it. He doesn't have to feed her anymore. So healing is like food. But by capture, Rashi says like this. The way Rashi, the other Rishonim learned, but the way Rashi learns is like this. The second she was captured, he has to redeem her. He can't get out of it now. Food, healing, is like food. He feeds her. But the second he wants to divorce her, he doesn't have to feed her anymore. But by capture, as soon as she was captured, they weren't divorced yet, right? So he has to redeem her. So just because he's going to give her a get now is not taking away that obligation as soon as she became captured that he has to capture her.
That also because one is the right, the other one is the
No. Some posts can learn like this. Because the wife works, whatever she earns goes to the husband, right? That's why the husband has to feed her. Heal her. No. Because she brings in food, so the husband has to sustain her. Okay? Now, up to the divorce, the husband did feed her. So he doesn't have to keep feeding her. He did his obligation. And that's why refuah is like food. Healing her, like Rashi says, like food. So therefore, he did his obligation. Now is a new obligation. Today I have to feed her. Today I'm going to divorce her. I don't have to feed her anymore. But by when she was taken captive, as soon as she was taken captive, he has an obligation to free her. And he never fulfilled that obligation. So therefore, he can't just give her a get and do it. Okay, so that's the difference. Why, by healing, he can say to her, you know what, I don't want to heal you anymore, take your get, here's your ksuba, go. And by captive, he can't do it. Okay, this is what the Mishnah says. So now, the Gemara says like this. Basically, the Mishnah said, even if something's not written in the ksuba, she gets it anyway. Right? So the Gemara is trying to figure out, who says that? Which opinion says that? So Gemara says, Mani, who is the, which opinion is it that says that even if you don't write 200 zuz in the ksuba, she gets it anyway. So the Gemara answers, Rab Meir, it's Rab Meir. What does Rab Meir hold? Rab Meir says, Kol ha-peiches n'psul mimasayim. Whoever gives a psula less than 200, and amana mimana, and less for a widow, less than 100, hareiza bu'ila znus. It's like znus instead of marriage. Okay, that's what the mayor holds. The mayor holds the minimal amount you can give a psula is 200 zuz. And if not, it's like you were mizana with her, you weren't married to her. So therefore the mayor holds, even if you don't write it, you have to give it. Why? The E, Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says like this, Ratza, case of the psula shtar shomasayim. If a guy wants to listen to this, you do with the holes. He can write it $200, and she can write back, I got 100 from you already. Even though she didn't. She can write, she can forgive part of the ksuba. The mayor says she cannot forgive less than 200. Because if yeah, it's bila znus. Rabbi Yehuda argues on the mayor, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. If the woman agrees to 100, you know, the case would be he writes it 200, and she says, you know, I consider it as if I got 100 already. Meaning you only have to pay me 100. The beautiful holds, that's fine.
What is it, Zenut, if he's feeding her every day? No, he doesn't pay her 200 Zenut. Why? He's feeding her every day.
The mayor says it doesn't matter. Ksuba is when she becomes widowed or divorced.
What is the logic? Why is it considered Zenut?
Because the mayor holds a woman to be married needs to have the security of 200 Zenut. Or a widow, 100.
I understand, but why is it zenut if he doesn't do it?
Because it's not considered a marriage. It's considered boy and girl living together without chuppah.
The kinyan is not a kinyan.
The chuppah is not a chuppah. It's marriage, it's not a marriage. She's still an Eishes Ish, by the way.
Yeah.
If somebody's mizana with her, it's adultery. He still needs a get. Bila's nus means,
he uses the expression,
it's like they're not married.
Just let you know.
Kedushin they had, even without marriage they would do.
Okay.
So therefore the Gemara says, who does our Mishnah go like? Rav Meir, that says minimum is 200. So therefore even if you don't write it, you still need the 200. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Ema say, if you look at the last case of the Brice, the Mishnah. It says, Kosev la sada shavamon etachas mazayim zuz. If a guy gave her, instead of a $200 ksuba, he wrote her a field that's worth 100, right? V'loi kosev lan, he doesn't write. Kol nechosin v'islay, all the properties I have, achroi l'ksubasich, is leaned, there's a lien on it for the collateral for the ksuba, chayiv is chayiv, shutrai bezdin, which is a condition of bezdin, right? Who does that go like? It has to go like Rabbi Yehuda. That says, Achray is toy sefer. Okay, I think you have to explain this then. We learned it in Bava Metzia, but that was a long time ago. When I sell you a field, yeah, technically, there's a lien on the field. Let's say I owe money to somebody. I owe somebody money from before. And then I sell you a field. Okay? Can the guy I owe money to, because there's a lien on the property, right? Halachically, he can go to the buyer and take away his field.
Yes, to compensate him for it.
No, one second. No, one second. Okay. That's exactly what we're learning now. The buyer could take, I mean, the debtor, the guy he owes the money to, could take away the field from the buyer. Now, so what normally should be done, the buyer goes back to the seller, and says, 1 minute. Where's my field? Right? So that's called achrayis. Achrayis means there's a responsibility that if the field is the seller and the buyer make up. that if the field is ever taken away from you, you can come back to me and I'll reimburse you either with money or another field or whatever. What happens if I write clearly that even if the field's taken away, you're not getting anything? Tough luck. You agreed to the deal. You should have known, checked into it. Should have checked if there's a lien on the property, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't? Tough luck. Now, that's clear. What happens if he didn't write yes and he didn't write no in the field, in the sale? The guy sold the field. He doesn't write achrayis, that you can come and take it back. And he doesn't write no achrayis. Okay? Is it considered as if there's achrayis or not? What's the expression of the Gemara? Achrayis to'ois sefer. Is it the mistake of the scribe that he didn't put it in? In other words, which means, it's in whether you write it or not. Why isn't it in? The guy who wrote, the scribe, made a mistake. The guy who wrote the document. The mayor holds, no. Achrayis lav to'ois sefer. It's not the mistake. It's not in there. It's not in there.
Yeah.
1 second. What does our case say? Even though he didn't write all my prophecies are achrayis for you, he still gets it. She's still going to get the field. Even though he didn't write, I'm giving you my fields are guaranteed for you. That means achrayis is not toyes sefer. That means it's not a mistake. It's not there, it's not there. Our Mishnah says, even if it's not there, he didn't write, it's all bound to you. It's bound to her anyway. Yeah? So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Because Rabbi Meir says, if you didn't write it, you didn't write it. It's not there. Rabbi Yehuda holds, even if you didn't write it, it's considered written. Correct? So our Mishnah, the second half of the Mishnah, that says, if the guy didn't write, all my fields are achrayis to you. She gets it anyway, because it doesn't matter if it says in the document or not. It's like it says it in the document. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And the Gemara is going to quote the argument to Rabbi Yehuda Meir. The problem is, we just got through saying the first half of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, that a girl can never get less than 200. That's Rabbi Meir. And the second half of the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's problematic. Right? The first half of the Mishnah that says a psula must get 200 regardless, that's Rav Meir's opinion. It's not it's be'ila znus. It's a znus. Right? So that's Rav Meir's opinion. The second half of the Mishnah that says even if he didn't write achrayis, it's still as if it's written, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That means half the Mishnah is Rav Meir, half the Mishnah is Rav Yehuda. It doesn't make sense. Because the Ira Meir, because if it goes according to the Meir holds achrayis last toiv sefer. The absence of the guarantee is like it's not there. Where do we see this argument with the Meir Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah like this. Motzeh shtori chayv, if a guy founds documents, loan documents. So now, what do you do with the, I walk in the street, okay, I walk in the street, I look down, there's a loan document saying you owe him $1,000. I pick it up. Shava Saveda. Who did I give it back to, you or him? Was it paid? Was it not paid? Who did I give it back to? So the Mishnah says over there, Yeshba machrayis nechosim, if the fields are guaranteed for the loan, lo yachzer. You don't give it back to the creditor. Okay? The Grashi says, you don't give it back to the malva. You don't give it back to the lender. Why? Shebezdin nefroimim. You give it back to the lender. Maybe the debt was collected already. But the lender is going to have a new document. He's going to go to buyers of the guy's fields and take away the fields from him. Mm-hmm. And Rashi says even more, Rashi says here from the Gemara B'Metzia, even if the loiva, the borrower, admits I didn't pay back the debt yet, you still don't give it back to him. Why? Why? Because the lender will get together with the borrower and take away a field from the buyers and split it.
What do you do with it? He keeps it?
There was a case. A husband and wife went through a very bitter divorce in court. It was a lot of money. It was a bitter divorce in court. After the settlement was done, together they sued the lawyers for malpractice.
Why?
Make some more money. Well, that's the point. This is what people do. Right? So maybe the malva really paid back the debt. I'm sorry, the loiva, the borrower, paid back the debt. You're going to give it back to the malva, to the lender. Right? He's going to go to the buyers, collect the field, either keep it for himself, or if the borrower says, yeah, I owe him the money, they'll split it 50-50. But maybe he paid back the debt already. So then is you don't give it back. What happens if there's no lien on the property for the fields? If there's no achrayis, yachse, then you could give it back to the creditor. Why? She'ein bezdin nifrei mehem. Because bezdin doesn't collect. Divrei rabeir. Right? Why? But if you say, even if it doesn't say achrayis, it's like written, then it doesn't matter if it doesn't say, it's still written. But Rav Meir holds, no, if it's not written, it's not written. Chachamim, which is Rav Yehuda, by the way, says, whether the document has achrayis, or the document doesn't have achrayis, lo yachzeh, don't return it. Why? Shebezdin ifremim, because Bezdin could collect it both ways. Why? Because Rav Yehuda holds, even if there's no achrayis written in the document, it's considered as if it was written. Right? So the Gemara says, Reish Rav Meir v'Sefer Rav Yehuda. How could the beginning of the Mishnah go according to Rav Meir and the end of the course it goes according to Rav Yehuda? The beginning of the Mishnah says that even if you don't give a psula 200, she gets it anyway. Right? That's Rav Meir's opinion. Because Rav Yehuda holds you can give her less than 200. If you give it 200 and she says, I got 100, it's good. Right? So Rav Meir is the one that says, you must give 200. That means the first half of the Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir, that if you didn't write her a ksub of 200, she gets it anyway. Right? And then, the end of the Mishnah, that says, even if you didn't write a chrayis, it's like it's written, that's Rav Yehuda's opinion, Rav Meir holds it's not written. So Gemara says, it's funny that the beginning of the Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir, and the end of the Mishnah goes according to Rav Yehuda.
There is a contradiction between the Reisha and Sefa? Or yeah. There is a contradiction between R, Rabbi Meir about the...
No.
Is it the same? Rabbi Meir said the same thing both cases?
Same thing. Rav Meir says like this. Apsula must get 200, or else it's Znus. That's what he says in the first half of the Mishnah. Therefore, even if you didn't write it, it's written.
Yeah, but
is it
written or not?
No, that's achrayis. Achrayis is collateral to get the field back.
A guarantee
on that if you buy it, I guarantee you another field. Here, Torah says, if you're oldest, not Torah, but Rabbanus, Machlekes. But Torah says, the Chachamim say, a girl gets 200 regardless. Regardless. Right? So the mayor holds, even if it's not written, it doesn't care what you do. Torah says she gets it anyway.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the mayor. The second half of the Mishnah says that even if he didn't write, all my fields are bound to you, collateral, she still gets it. Why? Because even though it's not written, the collateral, it's like it's written. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda holds a guarantee, even if it's not written, is considered written. But a mayor holds a guarantee that's not written is not guaranteed. It has nothing to do with ksuba. So the Gemara says like this. In fact, the Gemara is going to ask, maybe Rav Meir differentiates between Ksuba and the Achrayas, a regular shtar.
I was thinking about it.
Maybe the whole thing goes according to Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds guarantee is if it's not there, it's not there, and our Mishnah says it is there. So maybe because he differentiates between a Ksuba, this is what you were saying, and a regular shtar. Maybe a ksuba, even if you didn't write it, it's written. But by other documents, if you didn't write it, it's not written. Moshe says you can't do that. Because of me, Shandalay, the mayor doesn't differentiate. Where do we see? Tanya says in the Braisa like this. Chamisha geiva min ha-mechuradin. Five creditors can collect from unsold properties. Sometimes you can collect from unsold properties. Sometimes you can even collect from sold properties. Right? What's the case? Anyway, these are the five. Peiros, ushvach peiros, produce, and the improvement of produce, mean like this. A guy bought stolen land. It's the case that the Gemara is talking about. A guy bought stolen land from a ganav. The guy steals a field, yeah? Like people do today. They sell the Brooklyn Bridge, whatever. Yeah? The guy sells a field that was stolen. The guy invested money in it. The buyer invested, he didn't know it was stolen. Right? He thought it was a legitimate deal. He invested money in the field. Now the original owner comes and can buy my field. So the guy said, 1 minute. Okay, take your field back, but I invested money in it. Schwach Peters, the improvement of the produce, so that he can get back from the Ganef, right? But not from sold properties. Only from properties that he has. Or, Hamakabel Olav Lozen as Ben Ishtay or Bas Ishtay, a guy accepted upon himself to sustain and support his wife from a previous marriage. Her son or daughter. So even though he promised to sustain her, the kids cannot go to fields that the mother's husband sold, only from properties that are bnei chayrin, meaning that are available. Uksubas isha, listen to this, and the ksuba, a get chayv, a get, a dead document that doesn't have a guarantee in it, or uksubas isha she'en ba'achrayis, or ksuba that doesn't have achrayis, all these cases you cannot collect from bought fields. So in this same braisa, it says get chayv, which means a regular document. Get is really a shtar, a document and a ksuba. Man de shamis lei achrayis lav toy sefer. Which opinion says that if it doesn't say achrayis, it's not in there? Rameir, and yet it says ksuba sisha. In other words, you want to tell me, Rav Meir differentiates it, you wanted to say, between ksuba and a regular document, this braisa says that a ksuba that doesn't have the guarantee, debts that don't have a guarantee, in both cases you cannot collect from bought fields. Only from properties that the guy has. Right?
If he sold it and was improving on the fruits, he cannot collect that?
That's a separate case. It's five things,
one of those five, yeah.
Right. In other words, what the Rameh says in this braisa, that a document, a debt, that doesn't say achrayis, if the guy that owes, the guy who's owed money, goes and takes away the field, he cannot go back to the seller and get another field. He can only collect from the seller fields that the seller has available. But he couldn't go to buyers that bought the field after him. And the same thing is by ksuba. So we're likening ksuba and debt, which is Rav Meir. So you can't say the first half of the Mishnah is Rav Meir, or it's all Rav Meir. And there's a difference between ksuba and documents, loan documents, because Rav Meir says the same thing. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Iboy Seymer Rav Meir. We could say our whole Mishnah follows Rav Meir. Or you could say the whole Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Who's the one? Who's the rabbi everybody listens to? In these books.
Rich. Not me.
Not you. In these books. Who's the top guy?
Mashiach.
Beside him.
There's only one Mashiach. Moshe Rabbeinu.
Beside him.
They don't listen to him either. Okay, so like this. He buys him at Rabbi Yehuda. You can say the entire Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. I, by our Mishnah, it says that Hasim Kosali, he's Kabalti. The Mishnah later, when she writes, I have received, what's the case Rabbi Yehuda says? Rabbi Yehuda says later on in the Mishnah, a few pages down, what the Gemara quoted. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if a guy gives a girl 200 zuz, and she writes back, I got 100, she can only get 100. Right?
He wrote to her
200, and she wrote back, it's considered as if I got 100 already. So Rabbi Yehuda holds it's good. But Rabbi Yehuda says, really, she's going to get 200, but not in that case. Because over there, she explicitly wrote, I got 100. But if she doesn't write that, and there's nothing written in the Ksuba, she would take get 200, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hacha, like Kazale is Kabalti. Here, she didn't write that I received 100. Therefore, the din is, because he didn't write anything, she's going to get 200, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees to it. Initially, the Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda holds that she can even get 100, if she wrote back, I got 100, and our Mishnah says, if you didn't write it, she's going to get 200, right? So the Gemara says, no, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you didn't write anything, she's going to get 200 anyway, like the mayor says. Why in the later Mishnah does she only get 100? Because she wrote clearly, I'm not getting on more than 100. Then Rabbi Yehuda holds it's good. Like our Mishnah says. Hacha, in our Mishnah, loikos is kabalti. She didn't write that, I got it. And therefore, the Mishnah says she's going to get 200 regardless.
He's giving her 200, as she said, I only receive 100?
No. Obviously. He's writing her in the ksuba, when they get married, and 200 zuz. A day later, she writes him back a note, 100 as if I got it already. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, if she gets widowed or died, or divorced, what does she get?
100.
The mayor says she gets 200. But the Gemara, he now is saying, Rabbi Yehuda only says that because she wrote back clearly, I got 100. But if he didn't write that, she's going to get 200, like our Mishnah says. He didn't write anything, she's going to get 200.
Only because he said.
Right. Iboy Seymer Rab Meir, or you could say, it goes according to Rab Meir. Ayrig Mari says, our Mishnah says, Chayiv, that if he didn't write that Chayiv, he has to pay anyway. Maybe it means, Minam Mechuron, only not from the sold fields, only from the tangible fields that exist, the unsold properties. That's what she gets. So the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah could go according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Meir. Bottom line of the Mishnah, and both would agree according to the Gemara, that they both agree on both cases, which means very simple. You don't write anything in the Ksuba, she's going to get 200. You're not going to write that I'm responsible, a guarantee for the field, that if it gets taken away from you, she's going to collect anyway. The only difference is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she would collect from even sold properties, and Rabbi Meir says she would collect from unsold properties.
When someone wants to buy a real estate, he has to do research. There is any lien on it.
Mm-hmm.
You go to break in of the town.
Now the Gemara says like this: a document that's signed by witnesses, they can go to the buyers. Milva al peh, doesn't. If it was an oral loan, okay? Orally we made a loan, No witnesses. Orally, nobody's arguing the fact. Yeah, I lent you $1,000. Yeah? I come to you, you have no money. So I can collect from your stuff in the house, but I can't go to the fields you sold. But if it was a document, then I could go to the buyers. Right? And the Gemara, then the Barbasa explains a very simple logic over here. When witnesses sign a document, people know about it. You know, like Facebook? Or the Gemara says, Chavacha, Chavacha, Islay. A friend has a friend who has a friend who has a friend. Even not on Facebook. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. Anytime a document is signed by two witnesses, it's known. It's a known fact. It's not a secret anymore. Therefore, when I buy land from you, yeah, I'm supposed to find out if there was a loan, if there's a lien on it. So if it's a written document, it's possible for me to find out because it's known. People know about it. And if I didn't, I'm messing myself up. But an oral loan, how am I supposed to know there was a loan to think there's a lien on the property? Is that what I'm saying? How am I supposed to know there's a lien? So therefore, you don't collect it.
It's only by real estate, by the loan doesn't work.
Right. The truth of the matter is, the end of Bava Basra, the Gemara learns a machlekes. One opinion says, Shibuda Daraisa, meaning like this. When I lend you money, yeah, Minatayra, everything you own is bound to the loan. Whether it's oral or written, Eved Lova Leish Malva. Right, the Pasuk says in Tillim. The borrower is the slave of the lender. So one opinion, the Gemara says like this, I lend you $1,000. Everything you own now, even if you sell it, is bound to me. Whether it's oral loan or written loan. Okay? The Chachamim came along and said, if it's an oral loan to protect buyers, you can't collect from them. As Minatayra, you can always collect from buyers. Oral loan, written loan, you can always go to the buyers and collect. Right? Chachamim, for the benefit of the buyers, said, listen, if it's an oral loan, how are the buyers supposed to know anything? Right? So therefore, the Chachamim changed the rule, which they could in the monetary thing, that you can collect from the buyers on an oral loan. The other opinion says, no. Minatayra, you can never collect from the buyers. Never. Shibud alav deraisa. There's no shibud on the properties at all. But then the case is, nobody's going to lend anybody money. What collateral do I have? Why should I lend you money? You could sell all your fields. If I'm not going to be able to collect the field, what am I going to get back? I have nothing collateral. So the Chachamim said, if it's a written loan, you can collect from the buyers. It's two opposite ways of looking at it. The halach is the same. If it's a written loan, you can go to the buyers. If it's an oral loan, you can't. That's the bottom line of it. Okay. Now just learn a little bit more. Like Kosovla, if a guy didn't write, I'll sharansim you and return you as my wife, right? So I'm Avod Shmuel. Avod Shmuel said a very interesting din, which is not that locha, by the way. Eishis Yisrael Shenensa. Okay? Shmuel's father said, a wife of a Yisrael that was raped, Asura Labaila, cannot stay married to the husband. Not like we learned the whole time she could, right? She's a surah lebailam. Why? As she was raped. Chayshin and shema tchilasa ba'enes v'sefer beratzen. Maybe at the beginning of the act she was raped, but then she enjoyed it. Then she did it willingly, and then she's forbidden to the husband. That's what Shmuel's father said. Eisir av lavod Shmuel. So what Rav asks, the father of Shmuel, it says in our Mishnah the opposite. In our Mishnah says, in Tishtaboi, if you're going to be captured, after Kinach, I will redeem you, Vaisivin Elochlint, I'll return you as my wife. That means it is mutter to the husband. How can a Mishnah say, according to the father of Shmuel, if she was raped, she can't stay married. So what's the Mishnah saying, I will redeem you and bring you back as a wife? Ishtik. So, Shmuel's father was silent. No answer. Kodil Ravaleh Davod Shmuel. So Rav recited a pasuk about the father of Shmuel. Sarim Otsru B'milim ministered would withhold their words and pleg kaf yasimu l'pim, they would put their hand on their mouth. Meaning, I think I was going to say this in a second. Even though they have what to say, they don't say it. That's what the pasuk says. They put their hand on their mouth. Meaning, they really have what to say, but they didn't say it. Oh. Huh? Oh. In this case, Avod Shmuel. No, that pasuk is whatever Shlomo HaMelech says. With the pasuk. No, in Eiv, sorry. It speaks about that. It says, ministers voluntarily withholding their words. In other words, Shmuel's father was silent. So Rav explains, it's not that he had nothing to answer. He could have answered, but he didn't. So the Gemara says, "My yisle lemeimar." What could they say? It says like this: "B'shvuya hikilu." By a shvuya, by a prisoner, they were more lenient. Why? Nobody saw that she was raped. There's an assumption that if she was captured, she was raped, right? But we don't know for sure. Because we don't know for sure, she can go back to the husband. But in the case where you know that she was raped, people know that she was raped, then Father Shmuel could hold that she's forbidden.
Witnesses to that effect?
We don't possibly that. Huh? So the Gemara says, if that's the case, we find in the Chumash that a violated woman could be turned to the husband, but according to Shmuel's father, that maybe she enjoyed at the end. So he says, no, it's speaking, the witnesses that saw the rape or heard the rape heard her screaming from beginning to end. So therefore, she didn't enjoy it. She didn't do it willingly. Yeah, and therefore, she's mutter. Then she would also be mutter
l'baila. What about if he's Kohen and his wife was captured? And it's a suffix. No, if it's a suffix, we don't know for sure. It's still,
yeah, but we said before in the Gemara, it's still because of a suffix. She's also okay. Unless if there's proof that somebody was with her the whole time and nothing happened to her. We'll just finish. Pliga the Rav and the Yagyus and Rav. What did Shmuel's father say? If at the beginning she was raped and then she enjoyed it, she's also to the husband. And Rav says, no, not like that. As long as the beginning was a rape, God forbid. The same, but also at the end it was consensual. The woman tells the guys, don't stop him. I'm enjoying this. It says like this. Why is she mutter l'bayil? Ah, she's doing it now willingly. It says like this. Elmol in this glahi secharti. For had the violator not, didn't, she wouldn't hire him. Why? Muteris is allowed. Yetzer al basham. Because she became, the Yetzer Hara took over control of her. Really, she's considered rape. She would never hire the guy to do it with her. Right? But after it happened, see, it was,
It still is honest. Well, it still is honest. It's
right.
Because Yetzer Hara took over.
Right. And the words of Tanya, just finished the two lines. Tanya Kvasi the Rava, it says in the Torah of Elaine, it's possible by sight that she wasn't forced, that's Surah. Hadn't it's possible if she was forced, Muteris, she is allowed. V'yeshtoch acheretz, afal pishlein, it's possible Muteris. And then the Brightness says like this, there's a case, even when she wasn't only forced, it's still Mut. What's the case? Exactly what Rava said. Kol shetchilase ba'enes v'sefer baratzen. If the beginning she was raped and the end was willing, Muteris, she's allowed. So you see exactly Krava. Like Krava said that even if its beginning was raped, if the beginning was raped, even though the end was consensual, she's still Mutalabaila.